A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Then Paul stood up at the Areopagus and said, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious. For as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands because he needs anything. Rather, it is he who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. He made from one the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the ordered seasons and the boundaries of their regions so that people might seek God, even perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since therefore we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold, silver, or stone by human art and imagination. God has overlooked the times of ignorance. But now he demands that all people everywhere repent, because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed. And he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, "We should like to hear you on some other time." And so Paul left them, and some did join him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the court of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Many years ago now, when I was a college student, I came across an interview with Mother Teresa of Calcutta. The journalist was asking her about the Muslims and Hindus among whom she lived, and why hadn't she tried to convert them? Didn't it matter what religion we belonged to? Shouldn't she care about their souls? And her response in that interview has always stuck with me. She told the interviewer, in so many words, that if a person has no questions in their life, then God must be reaching them exactly where they are. If they have not the least doubt about it, then this must be the way for their salvation. But the moment that they had a question, that this was a grace from God, and the person was obligated to pursue that question, to search further. A question is an invitation, drawing the person on a journey closer to God. And if the person doesn't pursue a question given to him, then he goes astray. A question is a grace. In today's reading from the book of Acts, Paul seems to have had a similar insight. Paul is in Athens, the great philosophical center of the Mediterranean. And earlier in the chapter, he's quite disgusted. He finds the people shallow and fickle and titillated by every new thought, always in search of the next intellectual or religious fad. Acts says that the city was filled with idols, a phrase that we should probably take quite literally, but also figuratively. The people's hearts belonged to many different things. They were the original sophists, we could say. But underlying their sophistry and their fickleness, Paul senses a deep hunger, a question that's eating away at them, for which they haven't yet found an answer, no matter who they've listened to or how many conversations they've engaged. And he finds this hunger symbolized in an altar he discovers dedicated to an unknown God. And Paul begins his preaching to this people from the space of their hunger. He names their question as a grace. "I know about this unknown God that you've been questing after," he says. "I know the one that you've been longing for, who causes you to wonder. And this God has seemed so far away, so unreachable, but actually is very near. And we didn't create this God. This God created us. And this God is closer to us than our own breath. And now this God has called us to a new time in history. Whereas once we thought him to be unknown, now he's been made known to us through the words of a preacher. And we know that these words are true because this preacher was killed, but God raised him from the dead. And some people scoffed and let the question go, but some people decided to pursue, saying, "We want to hear you talk about this again." And some, like Dionysius or Damaris, became believers because they let that question be a grace, taking them to a new place in their relationship with God. There are two things that I think perhaps we might take from that story of Paul at Areopagus today. The first is a deeper respect for the questions that visit us personally in our own lives. For myself as a child, I grew up thinking that questions were primarily temptations of the devil, a sign of insolence or lack of faith. But Mother Teresa and Paul alike would encourage us to look at our questions from another perspective, that they're graces, inviting us to ever deeper relationship with God, and we are obligated to pursue them. Once upon a time, I thought theologians were those who had all the answers about God, and now I know that theologians are simply those who have more questions about God than most and find their salvation in the pursuit of those questions. So honor your questions as an essential part of your spiritual journey. It's when we don't that we're in most danger of going awry. The second challenge relates to how we will honor the questions of others. Sometimes in our history, we've thought that the proclamation of the gospel was to begin with the announcement of sin, pointing out where the other person was wrong, was going astray. But Mother Teresa and Paul both remind us that the best place to begin the proclamation of the gospel is in the question. It requires finding that open space, that hunger, that vulnerability, that point of haunting wonder, indeed the doubt, and gently naming it as grace. How would our conversations with others be different if instead of starting with what we thought people should know, we started with their questions? The pursuit of questions is a rather scary thing. We don't quite know where we will end up when we follow them. But today's reading should give us courage. We will find the one in whom we live and breathe and have our being. We will find the unknown God.